Hello, everybody. I'm Casey.
And I'm Rachel.
And we are RP Jesters.
I will allow the DM to retract the dragon.
We are a variety actual play podcast, playing a range of different RPGs.
With each campaign, we walk you through the basics so you can try the game out for yourself.
And we showcase each system with our love of role-playing and dramatic character-driven stories.
Hey, I died for this.
Oh,
I literally died.
Now you must sleep.
All of my memory scans are on the ship.
What?
We need to send them in now. Activate Team R.
I start firing my blaster rifle.
Every episode is only an hour long, so you know you can fit us into your week.
But we are jesters after all. We love the drama, but we also love to laugh.
And we live to entertain.
What happens with the rocket?
Flies.
Flies? It flies where? Where does it fly?
Maggie!
Oh, damn.
You have been activated.
I can tell you right now, I know for a fact that I am invincible.
We gotta get this rock into the sun.
That's away from
like
the race.
Finger guns and like towards the sun.
You have been activated.
Greg is my stepson. He calls me dad now. You just gotta accept it.
So let us invite you to our table,
where our tales span a whole multiverse of drama and dice.
We are playing
Power in the Dark.
Naughty Crimes Division.
Into the Whelstrom.
Operation Frozen Dark.
The Forbidden Gift.
Midnight Gravity.
Come for the story.
Stay for the jests.
And welcome to the Jester's Court.
You have been activated.
The Heart is a Dungeon is a TTRPG adventure focused on loss, healing, mourning, and joy. Not all subjects are suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
There is a forest you can find if your heart is true. Within it, there's a tower, abandoned and unused. There's smoke before there's fire, but both can come and play. Tell me your heart's desire, and perhaps I know the way. Clench those hands with breadcrumbs as though you'll make it back. Once you well at my sad tale of Egan the Lantern Jack. We see a tower, raising out of a gnarled and dense forest like a night house, warning all to hold on to their hearts, for darkness soon approaches. There is a hollow tree, filled with shells and shaped like kidneys, and four cornerstones to the property etched with unspoken runes and damp with the tears of those born at dawn. We see no movement. But there, suddenly, a flash of flint and tinder, a shadow, a shift, and then light. There, in the highest window, the one pointed like a cathedral, we see light. The brave northern wind takes us closer. We perch and grip at the stone and crevice so we can't see. Bah, just another foolish magician. That isn't interesting. But wait, a moment. Right there, something is different. Kelly, what does a flame look like when it finally wakes up?
Stillness. A frozen moment in time where nothing can exist until it does. It is a beautiful moment of unpredictable chaos. Something formless, given form where once there was nothing. And a sudden growth, a lack of steadiness until there is. A vulnerability that is scary. Will I make it? Will I grow? Will a swift wind take the light out of me? And so you grasp onto the wick and hope that you'll survive and hope that nothing will quickly walk past. And you grip and you grip until you can stand. And though it's still unsteady, you're standing. It's unlike anything you've ever felt before. It's a gasp, a shudder. Though it's frightening, it's beautiful. I think that is what it's like to wake up as a small flame.
As you are suddenly lifted and carried through this tower by hands unattached to mouth or eyes, a hand alone emerging from shadow. You're curving through a staircase, step by achy step, his tired, tired knees. But you're just in awe of the shadows you can cast. What type of painter are you that this canvas shifts so willingly? You're taken up to the top level of the tower. You aren't brought here much. The wind can be strong and sudden, but you're set down as you hear the magician shifting things behind you. It's a still night, thank the stars, and you can see so far. How does flame travel through forests that dense? Through cities so alive with lights and music and joy, how can fire travel safely through these places and not burn the hands that hold it? Where is your favorite place to be set down in this tower? Which corner is yours?
Surprisingly enough, despite the fear, there is a windowsill on the far side of the room, and it is my favorite, because now being alive, I know there's something to lose, and the wind reminds me that there is. It gives me something to experience in this small space that I've been given, that I've been tethered to. Against my will or not, I've been tethered here. It is the sense of movement, even though it threatens me. It puts my life on the line. But I can feel it, and I know I can move, and though my feet are bound, it's exhilarating to be by the window. More senses came the more time I spent in this world. It was difficult to see past my own light at times, but then focus came, and it was hard to steady my flame, but then some steadiness came the more I was able to grasp the fact that I had a form. And I think hearing did come. I think at first it just felt like vibrations through my body, that I could feel it before I could hear it, and then it focused in like going down a tunnel, until I got to the very end.
To some, the sound of wings could be seen as something divine, some sort of interruption or interjection from the heavens that no destiny will be bending for me today. But when you're made out of flame, the sound of wings is a different harbinger. But if you had a moment to, please, not quite yet, I'm not ready, that moment is stolen by large black raven wings as a bird comes to visit the magician. You hear a lone ka as you are plunged into darkness. Time passes for the little flame, who grows some seasons, but also can go weeks or months without ever being lit, as the magician travels around the wide open world. But today, there is a new guest, it appears. If we descend the steps of the tower to go into the gnarled grove with the spooky thorns, we would see a different creature making their way up this trail. Abigail, when we see you, what do we see?
You see a little cat, and that little cat has these vibrant purple eyes and fur that you can't quite tell the color of it because it constantly shifts with the light. And that little cat is bored. So bored. And is wandering the forest looking for some entertainment.
And there must be something better than this, as these little country mice and beetle families bring out their meager gifts to set at the edge of the trail as you pass, hoping perhaps they'll be picked today, hoping someone will hear their plight today, but you've just had so many gifts from sad woodland critters, always wanting more rain, healthy children, boring, boring, boring. As you emerge from the darkest part of the wood, you see a tower carved out of old stone that doesn't look native to this region, darker than the mountains around it, with strange cathedral-type windows around the beacon. You do see a door, but hear nothing.
Bingo. Gonna go to that door. I'm gonna walk up those stairs. And I'm going to find entertainment.
As it would if it was a mountain, a forest, an ocean, the door opens to you. There's no one there to greet you. You're welcomed, of course, because of ancient law, ancient pacts. It is dusty, no activity. It appears the occupant has been gone for a few days now. You see books, tables, alchemy sets, the occasional poetry book for when one is feeling sentimental and staring out those cathedral-shaped windows. But no wealth, nothing of that sort. It's not that kind of tower.
I sneeze at the dust and stretch out and peruse the book titles, and lots of them are very boring. History, divination, arcane. And then there's the fairy tales. And I remember my role in fairy tales, as cats and fairy tales are liberators of the oppressed. So I'm going to take a look around to see what I can free.
It is good that you found this place. As the clouds outside crack and the rain begins, you don't startle because you're not afraid, but you do jump because you're a cat. As a strike of lightning appears to have hit the tower up above, you hear a crack, a shatter, and a gasp as the storm realizes this isn't just the home of a magician. That is a cat with purple eyes. The storm bows respectfully and shifts slightly further away, timid and anxious. But up the stairs, you see a small light cast down the stairwell, a small fire that does not appear to be growing, but something seems to have been struck by the sky.
I'll pitter-patter over to follow, my ears still pushed against my head from the annoyance of the lightning for daring to make me jump.
Hopefully you do not sneeze. As you make your way up these stairs, you see a bit of a mess, items knocked off the windowsill by the strike and the wind. There is a candle here, now lit, a seared black burst behind it on the brick. Egan, do you know your name yet, after all this time?
I don't think I yet know what a name is.
It hovers above you in this place. It's etched behind you in the lightning strike. If you could only read the language of storms. You see purple eyes making their way up a cold stone stairwell.
Who are you? Coming up the stairs.
Hello, little flame.
Hello. I don't believe we've met.
No, not yet.
Who are you?
You may just call me Majesty.
Majesty.
You burn so bright.
You think so?
I know so. You lit this whole tower.
I am trying. It's hard sometimes.
You're doing a very good job.
Thank you. How did you get in here? I've never seen anyone else.
Tell me, from your windowsill, have you seen the forest?
Yes. I didn't know it was called that, but it is beautiful to look out.
Well, from here you can't see it, but it is full of wonderful and dreadfully boring creatures.
That simply can't be. I'm certain they're all very exciting, much like yourself.
Oh, they will be for you when you see it someday. I would like to do the draw them out play and do what are they keeping from themselves, and I rolled a 9.
What are you keeping from yourself besides the entire world?
I see that faceless magician once a week or a month. Or what have you. And they come. And they go. And they go. And why can't I go? I am here. Every day. And I cannot move. And I cannot speak. I have so little. It's not enough. I want more, and I can't have it.
I don't know what it means to go, but if I cannot leave this room, then I will most surely go in the way I do not wish.
Ho, ho, hold on. This year, I know exactly what I'm getting my sleigh, dear. Holiday gift cards from Hero Forge, with a wide range of options from tabletop miniatures, physical and digital, to 3D printed dice you design, and also custom keychains. Upgrade your gaming experience with the Pro subscription, which grants you access to new item drops a week early, and unleash your inner bard by designing wild creations, giving them the perfect mood lighting and backdrops with the photo booth tool. All that and more, starting at only $3.99 a month. Avoid those long lines and have your Hero Forge gift cards delivered straight to your email at heroforge.com.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's snake eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
And when you yell out, it's not enough, ships miles away crash into rocks as your candle bursts so bright that these cathedral-shaped windows glow and beam to the north, the east, the south, and west, a fake lighthouse, if only for a moment, in the light of your hope for more. You glow back down. Your friend with the purple eyes has learned the cry of your heart and has gleaned all you presented, whether in voice or in face.
Tell me, little flame, do you know what a book is?
I do not know quite what they do. I see them stare at them. It looks like madness to me to willingly sit and stare and not move when you have two perfectly fine legs that could take you out of the room. And yet they choose to stay. And look. What are they?
They're madness. They're boring. But they're useful. And I walk over and I bat one of the books up high off the shelf. And bat it open. It's a fairy tale book. This one's about This one's pretty boring. It's about a cat that walks on 2 feet, carries a sword, wears boots, saves a town.
That's boring. You think that's boring?
Oh, it's not a very accurate representation, and I start to claw at the paper.
They won't be happy with that.
Oh, they won't miss it. We'll close the book after. They won't notice the missing pages.
What is that?
Well, flames need to be tended to.
That's not how the magician comes and wakes me up at their will. What is that you have torn, and why do I want it?
Because, little flame, you could burn so much brighter.
I could.
Would you like to try?
Yes, please.
I just, in my little paw, take just a little bit of paper, hold it up to the flame, and drop it right onto the flame.
Oof, glory through your body. Upwards, you grow, you swell, you shift and return. It's an entire movement, a series of movements from your core. But the wax melts. Your candle is now half an inch shorter.
Oh, but I would say it's quite worth it. I think the paper drops. It is ecstasy. It is a burning flash of new life. Something nameless Egan has never felt. It's almost indescribable. Egan has seen the magician eat and consume. It never quite understood why. And now it is crystal clear. We consume to feel powerful. We consume to grow. We consume because we can. What? How? I need that. I need whatever that was. I want what that can give me. For the foreseeable future, maybe forever. Can you
help about this? I will create more of these pieces, this fuel, and I'll leave it around the tower to remind the magician that flames need tending.
Why would you do this? I am not arguing by any stretch of the imagination, but why would you do this for me?
Well, you are so special, and I believe there's so much more for you.
And you would do this just...
That is what I do.
You would perform this miracle freely.
Well, I might need a favor in the future. We can deal with that later.
You have a few days together. Not long. The storms last as they tend to this time of year. The tower is wet and dark, but the lightning does not strike nearby again. No one blows you out, Nameless Egan. A friend is here to keep you safe from wind, Friendless Egan. The tower looks almost decorated, confetti everywhere, torn up pages, the boring, boring journals of poetry. Egan, you are burning constantly during this time. You are now closer to your base than you would like to be.
It is a strange mixture of emotion. Because on one hand, I stare out at this glorious banquet that the cat has so lovingly prepared. And on the other hand, I might not ever get to touch it. I do recall a blank space, a void that I live in when I'm not here. And it's only agony. As much pain that I feel here, to be bound here, is frustration and imprisonment, and I most assuredly hate it, even though it's better than the alternative. I am hungry and I am scared. Dear cat, I think they are approaching.
Who?
From the forest, the magician. I think they have returned.
Oh.
I do hear the ugly storm that is the magician approaching this tower. And are we ready? It appears as though you might be, but I am not sure.
Yes, we're ready. Are you?
I believe I am. I have to be. If I am to go.
Tonight, once the magician is asleep, you will feast.
See a human magician living alone here at the edge of Faerie. You sneer at the sight of a cold iron dagger on his belt, knowing that is the only way to forever kill a Faerie. He bolts the door behind him, looking around with exhaustion and confusion on his face at the mess, but seeming too tired to blame it on anything but the mighty wind. Tomorrow. I'll get to it tomorrow. And Songless Egan remembers the way the brooms and mops will dance as they clean. But for now, he just seems exhausted, but is shocked as he sees a lit candle, as Egan is shocked to see Majesty rub up against his leg, and the magician doesn't respond, doesn't look, doesn't scream. He just wonders how a candle was lit this entire time. He's not sure if there's been a light here this entire time.
I feel like Nameless Egan is trying to be a good actor, knows, you know, this tower is fraught with magic. It's everywhere. It's crawling in the walls. It's in the ceiling. It's in the window. It's in the hearth. If Egan could, crossing his fingers, that the magician simply attributes it to a little bit of lost magic. A ritual candle not put out and just lingering because of the atmosphere. And is hoping and praying and clinging to the wick. Clinging as fear comes again.
Down to the size of a thumb, brave Lissigan is. As he is carried through the tower, while secret places are looked into, making sure he wasn't robbed or things of that sort. Nameless Egan, you watch Majesty jump onto his bed, onto mantles, breaking flower pots and rubbing up on his clothing, getting no reaction, no response. He steps over the cat when he walks, but never registers, having noticed its existence.
A pitiful creature.
Time passes. Not much. Just a day. Just an evening. The magician is tired. He bathes in the river nearby. Oh, loveless Egan. If you follow your destiny, there will be a beautiful day where you learn about rivers. But for now, he goes to sleep easily. The door is locked. He feels secure and safe. Majesty curled up on the foot of the bed, but with eyes open and a smile.
Majesty will pitter-patter over to the windowsill and look over at the little flame. Almost sentimental that this is the last time that Majesty will have to pitter-patter over to you.
Majesty, is it time?
Yes, little flame, are you ready to burn?
I am. I'm starving.
Then feast. Bop, bop, bop. Tap the little candle right off the windowsill.
It doesn't make much of a sound. You're not that large yet. You are not that undeniable yet, but as that first paper touches the tongue of your flame, the lick of this flame, you grow, you glow, and that second page, the third, that money, that door, that cloth, you just begin to feel this space, burning center, not yet crawling up the stairs to where the magician sleeps, unlit, just churning within you. What is your mind? Or your heart, or your fear in this moment, Egan?
It is determination. Mixed with uncertainty. This is the first time he's moved. He's been bound for so long, and to suddenly be able to explore this space and consume and take, and the simple act of making his way across a room is the grandest adventure he's ever had in his life. And it's scary, and it's exciting, and it is everything an adventure should be. He'll periodically check, like, look over at Majesty to make sure, like, this is going to work, right? this is going to work, right? It's beautifully monstrous what's happening.
It's not going to work because it already is working.
I think upon you saying that, I think he takes stock. I think he's, you know, it's all uncertainty and learning what it means to experience this. There are flames and they are growing. Vision is more keen. Sounds are getting clearer. Movements are more on purpose. Gosh, what a terrifying thing to have a flame with a purpose.
It's easier to choose what to eat when you're not starving. And I'm going to add a homebrew permanent Egan mechanic right now, if you'll allow me.
Okay.
As you're burning these books, you learn. You consume not just the paper, but the ideas. You suddenly see maps of other lands, other worlds, other cities made of wood and straw. But you also find these poems, and you learn that he truly loved an elf librarian 20-25 years ago in a wood to the east, so far from here. And he never got over it. He was never whole again. You feel the magician as you burn this book, and you realize the only way to truly know something is to turn it to ash. In this moment, you hope that you'll never fall in love.
He burns what he knows. And this room, this prison, is what he knows. This is where the leash was tied. These are the walls that he's had to look at for days and days and days. And it's all just garbage. All of it. Including the magician. And it's my turn.
He only burns what he knows, so he burns up the stillness, the loneliness, the isolation and time wasted, not time spent or time applied, just wasted. And the tower glows. The scream is so distant you don't hear it. What is the scream of a small life ending when a fire has begun? Now it's distant, but now all of this wood is gone. The tower now stands as a stone shell with small cathedral-shaped windows. Where the wizard's bed was upstairs near the beacon, for some reason, long after you've left this place, it never stops burning. This tower becomes something different, a lighthouse that's a trick. Steer your boat here, come and find the way, maybe I'll show you. One day Egan may return to this place, but as stone and cloth, ash and wood are all mixed in this inferno, what shape does it take as you exit this world into the next one? Egan, with majesty by your side, Egan, how do you form? Tell us who you are now, Egan.
How do I form? I think as he burns it all down, this little prison, and everything is eaten and cleaned up and taken care of, and it extends to those walls, and then it's not so much the fire itself, but the light that it has made. And it condenses. It somehow this fire is given sharp edges, and it condenses, smaller still, until a newly born fae lies curled up on the ground with a form they never had, but will certainly enjoy.
I believe that Majesty walks them to the edge of the clearing, to the woods, and looks at this little flame that's, well, used to be a little flame, and is a mixture of proud and deeply entertained, and says, "Little flame no longer. Egan, this forest has much to discover, but it's dangerous. And if you ever get lost, burn it all. Now go discover the world."
"Thank you. Will I see you again?"
"Well, that favor will be called."
"Make it a good one. I'm excited to hear it."
Hey, thanks for listening to The Heart is a Dungeon. I'm Rara, but enough of that. You've got to meet Abigail, our amazing guest this episode. Abigail, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Abigail the Nerd. Thank you so much for having me. And you can find me on any socials under Abigail the Nerd. Abigail with two B's.
Hello, my name is Kelly. I go by the Kelhop on the internet. I tell stories in places, and I hope you enjoy them.